Okay, folks, everybody can hear me? I guess you can. Well, hello, it's a couple of minutes after two. I guess we can start. Hello, everybody, and welcome. My name is Yochai Kiryati. I'm a PM on the Azure team, specifically working on Azure App Services. And today I'm going to talk with you about running web and mobile applications on Azure App Service. We announced Azure App Service a couple of weeks ago. It was recapped in the keynote as well, and you've seen some cool demos related to App Services, which was great, I guess. As I said, my name is Yochai Kiryati. This is my email at work and the Twitter if you care to follow. I'm supposed to remind you that you need to submit evaluation for each breakout session to events. Yes, I guess. Anyway. This is good for us. You're going to give us feedback. We can learn for the next time. We're presenting on base-to-base, so anything you can do to help us would be good. So not a lot of topics on the agenda, but a lot of content. We'll talk a little bit about App Services. We've seen in the keynote. We'll see a little bit more. We'll take a look at some travel app demo. It's kind of a canonical demo that we like to show. And we'll talk about App Service Environment, which is in preview, which is a new feature that we're actually announcing today, probably in this session for the first time, although it's, I believe, the blogs and portal is already updated, if you have seen that. We'll have time for Q&A at the end, but if you have any questions, feel free to just barge in. Whatever you want, just raise your hand. I can barely see anything with the lights. Just may have to shout as well. All right, so let's start. So App Service, right? One integrated offering, combining basically web app, mobile app, logic app, and API apps. Now you can have all of them together. Basically, App Services gives you almost everything you need to do to run a modern app in your a modern app for your application, for your company, either an enterprise or a startup or whatever you guys are wanting, SaaS as well. We're working with some vendors, we're working with some partners, we're working with a lot of customers creating application running on App Services. And basically, yeah, that's about it. I think you guys have seen this slide or a similar slide during the keynote. If I'm not mistaken, Scott Hanselman kind of showed that view. And the reason we like to show that view, because for us, we can basically talk about when you come to compose an application, you can use Web API as kind of the glue to piece all the pieces together, to bring all the pieces together. So your web apps, your logic apps, your mobile apps, all of them can just use API apps and be happy with it. So we've seen it in the keynote. Some of that demos with the 3D printing and all that, which went very well. However, when you come to actually, Anyway, specifically, well, the reason I'm showing this slide right here is that there are a lot of other slides that will talk to you about how you're actually going to run, how you're actually going to build applications, like code and all of that, code examples and anything like that. Right now, by the way, just don't leave, but right now at 2 o'clock, Scott Hanselman is talking about the architecture of the App Service. But basically, there is a bunch of sessions about development, mobile, logic app, API app that will talk you through how to build the app. What I want to focus on is mostly how you, once you have an app, what do you do with it? How do you run it? What do you make sure that it runs well, it runs at scale, it's highly available? What do you need to do to make it be able to run across multiple regions as well? What do you do to run the app that all the great developers in the room are actually building? A lot of us are just overlooking that, and we just go ahead and just drill down and building cool stuff, which is important, but I hope this session will have benefits. So when we look at a platform view, when we look at, we think of how do we run this thing, so we took actually the web apps and put it at the bottom because everything now is kind of a web app. So mobile and API are essentially web applications, what used to be called websites. And they are kind of special because we just give them some special treatment. We give them some extra stuff on top. But literally in terms of the runtime, where they're hosted, where they're running, the VMs that they're running on the same VMs that runs your web apps. And Logic Apps has a special container that's doing all that. So before I go into the demo, quick show of hands. Who's already using Azure websites or web apps? Who has a web sub? Good, majority. Who's doing it in production for real? Like, all right, also majority as far as I can see. Okay, Sweet. So who is trying API apps, app service stuff, stuff like that, new stuff? Not too many, but fair enough. So you're not going to have a lot of different in terms of experience when you come to manage. As I said, they are all eventually websites, so you can actually go ahead and see that underlying website. Okay, so I want to go through a demo, which will be a different demo than what we've seen in the keynote. And let me just set it up for a second. All right. Six. Cool. So I'll just start a demo. I'll do everything in private browsing. It makes everybody's life easier when it comes to login and all that, and you'll see it in a second. I would like to go ahead and talk about a travel app. So this is a travel app that we have created. And the first thing you see, in order to get to the travel app, you need to be able to log in. It's important. We'll cover that later. Let's just go in. I'm going to put my credentials. As soon as I do that, you'll notice that I get redirected. If I zoom in a little bit, you can see that I'm using Active Directory Federation Services. This goes with hand in hand with Azure Active Directory. Azure Active Directory and the work with that everybody is doing with the API and the fact that you can go into one access point and access a lot of different silos. It's all active Azure Active Directory that people kind of ignore. So we will review that as well. Oh, thank you, David. And I did it again. First day with the name. All right, slower. OK, so this is a travel app. You might have seen it before. It's a simple app. It doesn't as flashy as the one that we've seen in the keynote with the 3D printing, but it has the same core principles and functionality that I want to show to you right now. So let's go. Imagine the scenario. You guys are a dev. You need to create an app. This is the app that eventually you will create. And the app requirements is to be able to take new travel order or manage travel travel requests, basically, for employees within the company. But obviously, you need to get the company, all the customers' information from Salesforce. You need to integrate with Office 365 for the SharePoint because you want to have documentation and keep track and all of that. There is obviously a database on-premise that you need to manage, and you want to have want to give access to externals as well. You want third-party vendors to be able to access this site. So this is what we created. Not super exciting in terms of visualization, but basically covers everything we just said. Salesforce integration. All the accounts are coming from Salesforce. Let's pick one. Let's pick a different one. Good. Let's say I'm flying from home, kind of. I like to fly at style, so I want a Learjet. But this will be good enough in terms of accommodation. And let's put some notes so we can know this is build demo take two, because take one was earlier this morning when I was rehearsing. Let's say I want to fly, I don't know, next week. Come back at the end of the week, and we call. So we'll hit OK. Obviously, it goes, saves, do some bunch of work behind the scenes. And that's it. It's kind of done. You can look at the information now. You can see we added a SharePoint leak. Really amazing. Again, it's just for showing that we can. It doesn't necessarily need to do something meaningful. But we created a Word document with all the information. From here, you can kick a workflow. You can imagine using logic apps and doing a bunch of other stuff on top of that to actually automate and do extra things or extra functionality. You can also figure out, hey, we expose a web API layer here. Mobile application can plug into that, and everybody can have fun. Cool. So this is the app. Nothing super exciting. I'm not going to show the fancy logic editor workflow because I don't have one with this application. But for the purpose of what I'm going to show, it's good enough. So if I look at at the app, most of you have raised your hand, so I'm going to do it extremely quick. This is the portal. I don't know what's the name of this portal, but the old one is classic, so this one has maybe a different name. But this is my application. You can see I've accessed it a little bit before the demo and right now, monitoring. There's nothing new with this app. This is a little bit different if you guys are already familiar or seeing some of the difference between what I'm going to show what's exist today. Cool. So next thing, I have an app. I have a newer version of the app, right? When we build application, we do it more than just demos and more than just keynotes. We actually have versions, and we need to rev them, and we need to deploy them into production. So how do we want to help folks when they're coming to deploy into production? Basically, we work with deployment slots. And deployment slots are very powerful in terms of controlling and giving you a lot of control and flexibility in the way that how you deploy into how to deploy application into production. So a bunch of you have raised your hand that are already using websites. How many are using slots, any kind of slots? Only few. OK, so let's see this. What is this thing? So a deployment slot, basically, essentially, it's another site. It's another web app. I have Travel Production Alternate, and it will open up. And what you'll see here is a blade. And this blade is basically Travel Production Alternate. It's a different URL, as you can see here. And it's a different site, different setting, and a bunch of other stuff. But when I properly configure this, what you'll see is this site basically has the next version of my application. And you can hook it into your CI and continuous integration and deployment and a bunch of stuff. And David, I saw can you raise your hand? Where is he? David Ebo? Somewhere? I can see you. Over there. So David has a great session tomorrow, exactly at this time, 2 o'clock, to actually talk about all the dev operation, how do we deploy, how do we do all this management around. What I want to show is just what is basically some of the aspects that we have. Cool. So we have slots. How does it look? What does it mean to have a slot? Basically, I have a site. Let me go here and actually go to my direct URL, which will make my life a little bit easier. And this is the staging. OK. So instead of going to the canonical name, I went to travel-production ASC demo P Azure website. So it's an Azure website instead of the travelcontoso.net. And I did the same thing with the alternate. Now what you can see is that there is a difference between those two sites. Then the difference is kind of visible, 1 and 2. Cool. So the new version has a green background. So what does staging do? And just in case you guys I have some visual aids. So staging basically allows you to take I have a site. This is my production site. And what staging allows me to do is to set up the staging site, the green site, hence the green. I'm running a little bit too fast, hence the green. And so I have a staging and production. And as you can see, you can actually target each one of them separately. So you can test the site. You can work it out. You can do whatever you want with the site. In due time, when you're happy, it will basically allow you to swap. And swapping. What happened, Bikyo? So swapping basically take and swap the site. So now the green becomes the production, and what used to be staging, which is blue, become the blue. So this is swapping. If you guys are not using it, you're more than welcome to actually use it because it will save a bunch of stuff. Imagine you have some issue in production, you discover the horrendous bug, you can immediately roll back, everything works cool. Okay, so if we go back to so I have my staging site. I'll go back to my production site. And I can hit the swap button. So I'm swapping between production and destination. And obviously, if I have multiple slots, I can do that as well. One of the new things that we have released recently is the ability to see the preview of the changes. So this will let you see the difference in configuration between the two slots that you have, your staging slot that will go into production and vice versa. For example, if you want to have a different database connection string between the two of them, if you wish, or a different setting, or anything similar to that, it will be different from staging into production. You can see all the differences in between the staging. You can see the new values and so forth. I'm not actually going to swap, because swap has been around for over a year. I've been swapping for over a year, so I want to show something else. So we're not going to swap. A different thing that we have is the following feature. So the inherent problem with swapping is that if you have a large site, or heavy traffic site, or whatever you want to call it, which is important to you, and you swap, you basically take 100% of your traffic and put it into a new version of your site. Now you tested it, and everybody happy, and we are cool. But sometimes bad things do happen. And if they happen in production, you want to go to AJ's session. AJ? AJ at the back. He has a session on Friday. Last session of this, on the last spot, but it's a really good session, how to actually troubleshoot stuff. To try to avoid that, what we are saying is basically instead of, this doesn't really work. Instead of taking everything and just swapping in between the two versions, you have the ability basically to do a little bit finer control. So now you can actually go ahead and deploy a little bit into a portion of that into your traffic. So let's go. How does it work? I'll just show it to you. Feature called, where is it? Routing. I already have the alternate. Right now it receives zero traffic. I can do anything between 0 to 100. I can do 5. I can do 10. I can do 0.1. And as soon as I lose the focus, you see that the production will receive the rest of it. So this is a very powerful feature. For the purpose of this demo, I will put 50 just to show that I can. And hit the save. Cool. OK. So for that demo, we'll actually go back to these sites. And what we'll do is we'll go to the main URL. So this is the travelcontosoweb.net site. And I've landed, by chance, on the production. Fair enough. So to see this in action, actually, what I want to show you a little bit behind the scene. And it's important because it will explain. So what you see here basically is a cookie. We call it tip mix, testing in production, the former name or the project name that we have. And its value is 82 point something, so it's like 82%. Makes sense. Let me copy this. What I want to show you basically is if you coming as a separate user or a different session, you might end up with different values. And what I'm doing right now, I'm basically I'm going to change those values. So instead of 82, let's say we're going to want 22, which is under 50. Now when I'm going to refresh, what's going to happen is I'm going to hit the alternate site, the staging site. Now I'm still at the same URL. All right. And that's basically what you can do with tip, is you can slowly increase it to the point you're happy. You either merge your changes, you're swapping, whatever you want. David will definitely have more to tell about this. OK. So with that in mind, now we have our two sites we are running. And we covered a bunch of stuff. If something bad happened, yeah, anyway, of course. Fair enough. So let's see, let's do a little, a quick recap on what we have seen so far. So we have an app, runs over here. This app uses some third-party services like Salesforce. It uses Office 365. It has a database. Can be accessed from the internet. Cool. I haven't showed you, but there is an Active Directory. I'll show it to you right now. And we also have a Windows Server, actual Active Directory, because we do the real sync. Because in real life, most companies have some sort of a directory which is other than Azure Active Directory. And you definitely want to do that to allow this wonderful thing that you single sign on between your user and you can actually use everything in congestion. Cool. So let's see. So let's see that really quick. So to show Azure Active Directory, actually going to go to the classic portal. And I have a directory here. That's my directory. Sorry. And if I look at the directory domains, for example, you guys can see here's the Contoso web. Cool. And if I look at the directory integration, you'll see that I'm integrated into actual Active Directory domain server. I'll show it to you a little bit in a few. And the reason this is important is because now I can use my credential and do SSO among my regular corp credential to everything else. So my travel app, my Salesforce, Office 365, and so forth. So you can imagine that you can add more and more on top of that and do a bunch of stuff in terms of management. This is important because everything that you've seen in the demos everything you've seen in the demos in the keynote that were app services, and they were talking about the ability to expose API and get from all different sources are actually being funneled through the identity broker that is being managed by the Active Directory, which is rather important. Cool. So we've seen that. We've seen that. Okay. So actually, you know what? Before that. Cool. So this is the travel app. But this is not a regular, what you call a standard website. It is, in a sort of way, but it has something, some new, or some aspect, or some newness into it. And let me cover that right now. And the best way to show it, basically, will be, for example, I'll kind of hint into that. So I'll go into the app setting, I'll go to the application setting, and what you'll see here is this is the app. This is my application. Let me unhide the connection string. And what you see here is 10.0.1.6 IP address directly within the connection, the SQL connection string, which implies that I'm connecting through some sort of a resource in a close vicinity or in a protected. This is not a regular IP. It's not a regular internet address, right? Server, same thing over here with my other connection strings. And if I look at the site, today with Azure websites, you have the ability to use a hybrid connection or virtual or VPN, virtual network, basically. But there is no there's no hybrid connection configured on this box, and there is no virtual network configured on this box either. So how does this kind of work? So with that in mind, what I want to do now is basically go ahead. In terms of topology, what we've seen, we have an app, we have the staging site, and somehow these things are connected to some sort of on-premise resource. We got a SQL, we got a VM, and we are somehow connected to that. So in order to do that, I'm very happy to introduce you to App Service Environment, which is a brand new feature that we actually launching today in preview. And what is App Service Environment, you're asking? So App Service Environment is available under premium. It's a new premium tier feature. And what it gives you, in a nutshell, is a dedicated compute resource just for you. So for everybody who raises their hand and say they're already running websites today, you guys are running in a scale unit, or you guys are running in what we call a multi-tenant environment at the end of the day. Even when you go into basic or standard and you get your own dedicated servers, you're still sharing part of the system, including a front end, file servers, and a bunch of other management. And there are some limitations that comes with that. You can't scale more than 10 VMs, if you guys have seen that in the portal. There are some network limitations and so forth. So with App Service Environment, what you are getting, basically, is your own dedicated compute resource. You can think of it as your own private Azure websites, web app, App Service deployment dedicated only for you. And with it, we basically increase the scaling options. So you can go to 10, 20, 50 VMs, whatever you want. And we have are directly creating the application within a virtual network as part as being of the virtual network, which was not something you could do up until today, which should give you a hint about how we're actually doing stuff. All right. So a few conceptual model, and then we can actually go see some of the stuff as an example. So we have an app, app service app, whether it's a mobile, a web, an API, doesn't really matter. And there are a few of them. And those are what we call running within an app service plan. So you may or may not know, but you're already using app service plan. For everybody who raises their hand, app service plan, what used to be called web hosting plan, and if you look at the API, it's actually called a server from, but they're all the same, okay? And they define basically a SKU. A SKU is the kind of what pricing tier you are going through, standard, basic, premium, free. And with that SKU, you're defining the features that you have, number of slots, how much storage, how many sites, and so forth. Next, you're going to choose your compute resource, how many cores you want, one core, two cores, how many memory goes with this, and last thing is basically you can scale. You can scale today before app services between 1 and 10. Okay. With app services, basically, I can have any number of service plans. This is nothing new. With app services specifically, I can go to have a premium. I can go to a P4, which gives me 8 core and 16 and 14 gigs of memory. And I can scale to 8 or 80. It doesn't really matter at that point in time. One more, and you know what? That's it for now. Oh, one more note, yes. Well, when you run on the app service environment, basically, the SKU will be always premium by default, whether you like it or not, because app service is part of premium. So this travel application actually runs as part of app service environment. Now, this app service environment doesn't seem to have a lot. Remember, it's just preview. But it's really, really powerful, and we will see it in a second. It has few apps. Right now, it has a small demo app, and it has a travel production app. It has few service plan. You can actually see the service plan associated with this app service environment. It has few of them, and only two of them are actually running the sites that we have. One of the things you'll notice is that in terms of subdomain, we have created a different subdomain for app service environment. So this is my app service environment demo. That's the name that I choose. .p, p is for placeholder. And we have azurewebsite.net, which is the usual. You will notice that it is already have a virtual network, and we already created a subnet into which we actually deploy the app service environment, which is essentially essentially a cloud service. Okay, so how you want to create a new app service environment? Very simple. You go to the plus sign, hit the mobile, and you go app service environment. You give it a name. We are trying to find a virtual network that works for you. If not, we'll create one for you. And we'll also create a subnet into which we can deploy the app service environment. I'll cover that when we're actually going to see the virtual network data. Scale is one of the interesting aspects that I want to talk about. So here, in terms of scale, you get to choose the size of the VM and the amount of the VM that you want to basically for all of your app to run. So it's not just a single app where you go ahead and change your app service plan and do all that magic. Basically, you can control a bunch of worker pools, as we can see here. On top of that, you have the front end. When you run today without app service environment, you're running it against, say, as a multi-tenant environment. You're sharing the front end with everybody else, and therefore you don't really see them. We own them, we manage them. We still manage everything here for you. However, because this is a dedicated cluster, you get to manage and choose your front end. So you basically can go ahead and figure out what kind of front end you want to run. 2 cores, 4 cores, 8 cores. We are blocking the small just for performance and so forth. So there are three worker pools. Basically, as you can see, we have a variety of scale options here. So we have four, not just three. So you can scale up as well as out. So you can go ahead and you can choose like, hey, you know what, this will be my dev test. So worker pool one is good. Worker pool two will be my staging environment call, and worker pool three will be my production. Let me go with the largest that I can. Okay. So now that I've set the worker pools, I can go ahead and actually set the scale itself. So by default, you have four VMs we deployed for you, two front-end and two worker pool, and two on the worker pool one. You can do whatever you want with that. And notice that I can run and I can scale this a lot. So this could be four, but this could be, 23 and 17, I guess, or 16, good. And you get the idea, right? So you can define a worker pool. Altogether, you can have up to 53, if I'm not mistaken. The three is kind of weird, but put it aside for a second. You can have up to 53 VMs, and it's a policy, so obviously we'll be able to change it in the future. This is being deployed into West US, which will then go ahead and create an app service environment. Deploying this takes a little bit of time, as you can imagine, so we're not going to do it right now in production. Okay. But once I have, we can already have one, the S demo, I can just go ahead and add a website, just like a web app or mobile or whatever you guys want, just as easy. I need to give it a name. Cool. And then I go into a service plan, which already exists, which defines everything else, basically. If I want to change a service plan just for a second, this will give me some opportunity to talk about location. So what you see here, basically, is that app service environment in West US. And there's another one in East US, in North Europe, which we'll see in a second or later in the demo. The thing is that you can think of this as like a new virtual location. This environment exists in West US, and you can deploy your sites into that. And that's about it. So we select it. Let's select the existing one. The new is good. Hit the OK and create. OK. So we'll let it create. And we'll talk about the worker pools. So we have the service plan. So service plan needs to be attached to a worker pool. And basically, this is a little bit different between the existing stuff and what we have. So within app service environment, you have worker pools. A worker pool can be a small, medium, large, or extra large, as you've seen. And you can have almost as many as you want, but you have plenty of them. And there are a few of those. There are three worker pools to which you can assign your application. So if I go to, so the site has been created. Good timing. So here is the site. You can click it, take a couple of seconds. That's it. Now deploy, you can do whatever you want. Nothing changes from that perspective. The only thing that does change is when I want to go now and talk about the service plan, and I talk about the worker pool, now I can actually choose which worker pool I want. And notice that within that, you can't really change the scaling as you would expect, because you're running within, a predefined worker pool. So you get all of them, basically, why you want to choose. You can carve, if you want, differently, but you guys get the idea. So app service plan attached to a worker pool, and you can define the size of the worker pool and the size of your app service plan. All right, cool. So this was the app service environment in a nutshell, at least from the worker perspective. If we're going back to the app and we'll see how the app is mapping to the app service environment, so we have our application, we have the staging environment, we have this. Right, but now we understand that this whole thing is kind of deployed within subnets. So I have the application service environment subnet, and I have the subnet number one for the VM and for my database. They're all running within the same context of the virtual network. No more the need to deploy the VPN gateway on a dedicated server that will go ahead actually. The VPN client, it will go ahead and talk to a gateway on the virtual network to talk of any assets. You can directly deploy them within a virtual network, an existing one. So now it's time to actually go and talk about all the complexity of the virtual networks. Virtual networks, by the way, are available in the new portal, somewhere around here. However, personal preferences and a little bit of functionality, they have more to show right in the classic portal, so we just use that. So this is our virtual network that we use. If you look at the configuration, what you'll see in a sec is this. So this just shows you guys how messy we are, and we learn with time. And we created this virtual network a year ago, and this is the previous address space, or the sorry, this is the first address space. And subnet number one with 10.0.1 is basically the subnet in which we deploy the SQL and the VM. The two ISVM, one of them is SQL, the other one is the domain controller for the users. And this is a new one, and this is a new address space, 10.1, basically for the application service environment toward the subnet. And there is another WAF that we're actually going to show in a second. Now, to show you then that I'm not bluffing you or anything like that, here are the actual VMs. I can actually show you the VMs over here. The virtual machines, here is the like the SQL, for example, server, here's the dashboard. SQL server, you can see the 10.0.1.6. That's the one. I actually can go into RDP into that. Here is the SQL. You guys can see I did IP config. Here's the IP. And if I refresh this query, we probably should add another item, which should show number 10, which is the take number two, the new travel that we've just created. So this SQL database runs on an ISVM that runs within the virtual network, and the application server now can the app service environment with the website can directly connect because of the network paths are just there, which makes it work. Cool. The same way I have access to the domain controller, but you guys get the idea. All right. What next? Sorry. Sure. Why not? If I look at the dashboard of the network of the virtual network, what you'll see is that this network, this virtual network, is actually connected to another one in North Europe, and we'll see that in a second. This is where we add Traffic Manager and other stuff. But you can see the SQL in the different subnet and all the other subnet in here. Okay, so. What we've been hearing a lot from customers is, other than they want more machines and more powerful, and which the app service environment gives them, is they want better control over the network. And most likely, or the most common ask that we're hearing, is that they want to be able to hide their sites, meaning they don't want to allow access from the internet to those sites, basically. So those to your product, so your production or your testing site, it doesn't really matter. And there's a lot of stuff that you can do. You can put any kind of, I mean, we're specifically talking about WAF, which is Web Application Firewall, but you can imagine you can place any kind of network device that is supported on Azure into the virtual network in front of your sites. A WAF will basically protect your application from a bunch of stuff, you know, scanning, any form of, you know, kind of attacks, and you provide a firewall as well. But you can imagine you can put any other element over there. But the idea is that with or without the WAF, you can actually hide those sites from the public internet. And you can either go from corporate, or you can actually allow only traffic that will flow through external will go into go through the WAF and go through your site. So to see that, so we covered all of that. This is good. The network team has created Azure network team created network security groups, which are extremely powerful. They're not not available through the through any of the portal. You can do them through PowerShell. So what I want to show you basically is this. I go to my cloud service, and cloud service has UNTWAF. Let me just zoom in. If I go to the dashboard for a second, you're able to see the IP. And this is a cloud service that is being deployed into the same virtual network. And we will use that. This is just right. It does have two Windows Server 2012. And basically, all they do is just reverse proxy. We are emulating a WAF, because when we came out to deploy a real one, it cost about $4,000. So we said, no. OK, so if I go here, if I go to my app real quick, what I want to show you is the domains that we have registered. So you see there are a few of them. There are travel, Contoso Web, there is a, just in case, there is a travel app v2 for the traffic manager, and there is travel production, which is the one that we have seen. All right. So what I'm going to do next is basically go to PowerShell and clean this. But basically, I've already set up a network security group. I did not apply it yet. So what I want to do is basically apply it, which will be the apply. So I'm getting my Azure security groups named Restrix West US app access. Basically, I'm going to set the network security group to my virtual network, which is the demo, and I'm going to specifically restrict it to one subnet, which is the demo that we are having. So this takes a little bit of time. While this happens, I'll use the time basically to go ahead and talk about Traffic Manager and how do we integrate everything and bring multiple regions together. So if I look at the endpoints, and we'll look at them again shortly, you see there are three endpoints. There is one Travel Production EU, which is the one in North Europe. There is Travel Production ASC demo, which we've been using thus far. And there is the cloud. There is the WAF, which is the CloudNet, which is basically what mimics the cloud service that we have talked about. OK. So if I look, for example, in the app here, our travel production in EU is basically website. What a surprise. And this one, again, is part of it's basically part of another app service environment, but being deployed in Dublin, basically. And to show you that, I can do this. Can go into my EU to try to log in successfully, because we'll be able to log in because we have the same cookie. Goes into a different site. Let me now go through a little bit of the standard. I'll go and do NS lookup for the let me just bring it up from here for my cheat sheet demo. Cool. So you can see, and basically this will give you actually a good thing. What we're deploying is WAS Pro DB3. And if you're familiar with our deployment, if you look at the publishing profile, you'll figure out that you should recognize this prefix as WAS Pro DB3, because usually you see another number like 01, 11, 17, whatever. Over here, you see a little bit of a GUID and the CloudNet. This is basically the deployment in which we manage for you of the app service environment. And here is the address. If I try to, let's see, I can go to my other window. I can go ahead and try to find the travel Contoso, and what you'll see is you'll see it comes with different, depends on the time of day and how traffic manager figure it out. But you can see there are variants information here, like one IP address, which is 10.4, which is the cloud service, is the app service environment, and a different one, which is the WAF. Okay. So what we do is basically, if we go here, this is our app. Sorry, this is the environment. This is the app itself, just not a website. If I look at the app setting, what will be interesting is, this is not a best practice, but it works, and just to show, is that this is used the same connection string. And remember, this app runs right now in Europe, and it connects over the VPN network site to site, as kind of supposed to happen with a virtual network in Azure, to West US, to the database, and to the VM actually running in West US. And if you look at the virtual networks, either one of them, you'll be able to see that site-to-site connectivity points to from one virtual network, this is the one in West US, points to the one in Europe, and vice versa. Okay. So now I believe that the PowerShell script has run, and what I want to show you is the details. So what you're going to see here basically is the details of the security group, which is Respect REST US, and you can see that only thing I'm allowing to is I'm allowing only access from HTTP and HTTPS to 137, which is the IP address of the WAF, basically. There is complete inbound between virtual network to virtual network. This is how the West and East are communicating, and everything else is pretty much blocked. So with that in mind, if enough time has passed, let's see. All right, good. So if you remember earlier, this was not degraded. Okay, so what happened is this. This is the North Europe still working. I had a traffic manager pointing to two URLs. One was directly on the app service environment site, which is this one, and the other one was the WAF. Now, since I applied my security group, now you can no longer access the site directly. You have to go through the WAF to be able to access the site. And how does it look? Basically, if we go back here. So this is the travel production. I'll refresh this. And this will now be spinning for a while until it times out. And if I go to a different tab and I try directly the Contoso web domain, this will actually work. And by fluke, I actually landed on the on the alternate site, but you get the idea. And this one runs in West US, and the other one runs in North Europe. All right. So with that in mind, I think we have come to a full circle. And what we have seen is basically we have an app service environment, which is deployed into a virtual network, and then it gets all the benefits of virtual network across everything that Azure has to offer. And we have one site, but it's deployed in two physical locations, into two different app service environments, one in West US, one in North Europe. We put Traffic Manager on top of that, and at that point, you achieved high availability. There is a DR kind of option if one node goes down, hopefully not the West one, because that's where the database is. But you guys get the idea. It's another best practice. It's just to show off what we can do and how we can do it. We have other sessions covering some more of the topics of how you can run and higher availability. All right. So to summarize, app service environment available in premium tier, great offer. It's a dedicated compute resource. It give you dedicated compute, give it dedicated network resources directly for you. You're completely isolated from everybody else. You can reach global scale. You can reach a lot of scale, scale up, scale across. And the nice thing about it is all the great web app features and capabilities that you already are using are just going to work, just as is. So this is good news. It supports web, mobile APIs, web APIs. And it's available today as a public preview. All right. So with that in mind, other resources that are available for the track, and please provide your feedback for this session. And if you guys have any questions, feel free. Thank you very much.